Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning, May 1st. Larry Richard and anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I want to dial back to the conversation and the gathering with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and stakeholders throughout the process of this storm, including John Hildebrand II, the Vice President of Operations with Duquesne Light. Let me just share a couple of highlights of that press conference. Very important.
It is already clear that this is an unprecedented event in the history of Duquesne Light companies. More than 250,000 Duquesne Light customers experienced an outage. That's about 40% of the customers we serve. Our first and foremost focus is about safety, safety of our team members, safety of those coming to help, contractors and others, and safety of the public. Please assume any lines that you see are energized, stay clear of them, and call 911, and we will coordinate a timely response. As another indication of the magnitude of the event, we've received reports of more than 22,000 hazards, some of which are wires down, some of which are poles broken, et cetera. Another key element to appreciate the magnitude of the event, as you know, a transmission system feeds the neighborhoods and customers that we serve. Our transmission system has been impacted and there has been some damage. We're working to recover those sources. We want to cite the Duquesne Light workers, the line workers, the troubleshooters, those in the operations center, those in the contact center, all working diligently to safely field our customers at this time of their greatest need. We're estimating 5 to 7 days of restoration time at the moment.
5 to 7 days. I think that came at the end of his portion of the press conference, Paul, and certainly got a lot of people's attention because if you've gone through even 12 hours without power, you already had to make some maneuvers, including food in your refrigerator and then other issues, but 5 to 7 days. I don't remember a storm where that has happened here.
That's what happens when hurricanes make landfall in the southern U.S.
And that said, and due to continuing power issues and down trees and wires, many school districts have closed or some are still on a two-hour delay. For instance, Peters Township is two-hour delay. Pine Richland is closed. Then you have North Allegheny closed, but the flexible instruction, and we mentioned Pittsburgh Public, is open. However, there are 8 schools that are affected and will do synchronous learning, which is new verbiage. And
remember the word that they used to celebrate on the Pee-wee's Playhouse? when somebody would say the word and then there would be this brief outburst with bells and whistles and all that. I think we should do that with synchronous. I think we should have a little celebration each time you say the word synchronous.
Maybe I have something for you.
That works for me.
That's all I got. That's the best I could do, Paul. But the schools in the Pittsburgh public school system that are having power issues, Brashear, Brookline, K-8, Carrick High School, Conroy Special Education, Crescent Early Childhood Learning, Roosevelt K-5, South Hills 6-8, Student Achievement Center, and the Northview Early Childhood Center. So you're synchronous. And we have the complete list at kdkradio.com. Challenging times for many people. Although, after a storm like that and you get a day like yesterday, fortunately, it provided an opportunity to make some progress. But, Paul, I saw a lot of trees still hanging over roadways, and some of them look like they don't require that much to remove the portion that's over on the road. So they put up those horse barriers or pylons. And the reason, somebody said, well, why don't they just cut it? First of all, manpower is an issue. But second,
I mean, obviously, yeah.
But there were wires down on the side of the road behind the where the tree had fallen.
Danger, so Will Robinson. Stay away.
Right. So yeah. What John Hildebrand from Duquesne Light said is treat every wire you see as if it were energized. Yeah. And that's really important.
I mean, we had 4 deaths in Pennsylvania on Tuesday, and 2 of them were by electrocution, and the other 2 were people killed by falling trees.
So we'll continue to bring you the latest on the storm cleanup, and we're also going to check in with the National Weather Service here in the next half hour about the potential for this storm system. Now, they're saying it's not going to be as intense, but Paul, you and I discussed what the National Weather Service had posted yesterday after they had their survey team, and they concluded that it was straight line wind damage in the areas around Schenley Park through Regent Square, Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the parkway and I-376.
But Larry, the wind speeds that they estimate there.
90 to 95 miles an hour.
Wow.
Which puts it into really hurricane category. And while they didn't
above hurricane, yeah.
Yeah, while they didn't confirm any tornadoes that touched down, the damage, you know,
what's the difference?
Is the damage.
Right, yeah.
And you saw many roofs, siding, shingles, trees, debris of all sorts. So the cleanup continues, and we'll continue to bring you the latest. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted on breaking news and weather information. Really important now, and really important for many people who do not have access to power. Our friend Dr. Kevin Wong said patients were coming into his waiting room asking if they could sit there and charge their phones. So some sat for a couple of hours because they had no electricity and nowhere else to go where you could plug in. I mentioned the long lines getting coffee yesterday. I don't know if this is true or not, but one Starbucks in a morning commute for one person took in $6,200. That seems extraordinary.
The long wait for cable television service has been answered here at the studios. We now have television back.
And it just came on.
Just now.
Yeah. You're witnessing a minor miracle, Aaron.
It's nice to be able to monitor what's going on in the world and around town just in case something might be going on you don't know about.
Yeah, so, you know, just like you would see in a movie set, in our newsroom we have 4 actual monitors.
I make that 5. There's one by my desk as well. And then I've got 2 in here, and you've got a big one.
Thank you. And I have the local networks are on, ABC, NBC, CBS, and then we monitor national news as well.
Things like the Weather Channel and ESPN. And
well, what you find out is you take so much for granted when you have electricity.
Right. I mean, it's nice to have it back. You know, I'm so in the habit of glancing up to just check the monitors out just to make sure there's nothing happening that I'm unaware of. And that's a habit that I built on the day after 911. We had a monitor on in the studio where I was on the air at the time of the attack. And the producer said, hey, take a look at your monitor. And I saw the smoke pouring out of the first tower. And from that point forward, I've always checked the monitors frequently.
Well, we'll keep you posted. And if there wasn't enough to be concerned or worried about, how about this? Sometime this month, an old Soviet spaceship is going to come crashing back to Earth.
Which one?
Cosmos 482 was launched more than half a century ago on a mission to explore Venus, but it couldn't get out of the Earth's orbit and ended up stuck in orbit and slowly is going to come back. But now it'll come hurtling back. They expect it to fall down around May 9th. Now, here's the problem. They don't know where.
Oh, boy. Russian fireball is coming, and we really can't pin it down.
It weighs 1,000 pounds, and because it has a heat shield, it will not burn up in the atmosphere.
Well, it makes sense that it would because of where it was being sent.
Right.
And didn't get.
So just add that to, and ironically, it's National Space Day, too. And a group of scientists at Virginia Tech are now warning that a massive West Coast earthquake like the one they've been predicting for years could erase the coastline from Northern California to Canada. They think a magnitude of 8 on the Richter scale or larger along a 600-mile stretch called the Cascadia Subduction Zone would trigger a huge tsunami that would permanently sink the coastline in at least 6 feet of water. It's the only major fault line in the Ring of Fire that hasn't had a major earthquake in the last half century. They think they're due.
Wow. Nice.
People in California, I know, I get it. The weather a lot of the time is really nice, but there's always that hanging possibility of earthquakes and then the fires and then the mudslides and dogs and cats living together. I mean,
mass hysteria.
I've been to California a number of times, and it's great to visit. I don't know that I could live there with that kind of pressure hanging over my head.
You saying mudslide is another one I just would never even think about. That's insane.
All right.
You know, we went through a period there for a couple of years where we were having them almost daily.
Oh, those wow. That affected this. Yeah, because of the hilly terrain here.
I mean, even communities with houses sliding down hills.
All right, I got one more thing for you. This is really important for cybersecurity and choosing passwords. You ready, Aaron?
Yep.
Cybersecurity firm has timed how long it takes the average hacker to crack your password. If it's only 4 characters, less than a second. A password with 5 characters using numbers in upper and lowercase letters would take a hacker maybe 2 hours to figure out. But a combination of 8 random characters, including numbers and symbols, would take 164 years to crack. And now you go to a 12-character combo, it would take a hacker 3 billion years.
And that's why the company has us doing a 16-word password now, or it's actually a passphrase. Aaron, you could probably change yours to include the words garage door.
Wow. You're right, though.
It'd be easy to remember. Yeah.
And we do have to change. When's the last time you guys changed your Odyssey password? I just did mine,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, in our company and many other companies, due to some loss, Arbanes-Soxley or Sarbanes-Oxley, whoever those two guys are, we are prompted and must change our passwords because you get lazy, right? Mm. And you have, how many passwords do you have, the average family, for whatever, your online banking, your cable or satellite? Or
you know, our smartphones all have programs in them now to manage all the passwords.
Which means, why don't somebody can just hack and steal your password management system?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile,
they're in there rooting around in my passwords. Well, if they want to pay my power bill, go right ahead.
I keep getting these notifications that somebody got money somewhere and they're going to direct deposit $5 million. And I got to say, it's tempting, but don't open them. From Morning Show, Larry Richard looking at school closings and delays. We have the entire list at kdkradio.com. Pittsburgh Public Schools are in, but there are 8 schools that are on what they call synchronous instruction. North Allegheny Schools closed. They have flexible instruction. Pine Richland closed, and a number of others, some on delays. Again, get the list at kdkradio.com. So yesterday, the National Weather Service sent out survey teams and tried to reconstruct what happened on Tuesday. Now, our concerns about what's coming today. And we go to meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I know you and your team have had your hands full, but after you went out and investigated, I guess the areas around Schenley Park to Regent Square to Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the Parkway I-376, what jumped off the page to Paul Rasmussen and I was the 90 to 95 mile an hour winds consistent with these straight line wind storms that did so much damage.
Yeah, so the survey teams went out and reviewed and looked at all the damage that was occurred across the region. They surveyed all sorts of places, and some of the damage they were seeing was indicative of winds that were that 90 to 95 mile per hour. And based on the direction of things damaged, there was no tornado. This was all straight line, but it shows that even if it's not a tornado, if we get winds that strong, it can do a serious punch to the region. And obviously, a lot of areas are still reeling here this morning, and we're hoping for their recovery and quick order. And hopefully today we can maybe avoid additional things, but that's what we're going to be looking out for this afternoon and evening.
And so with this afternoon and this evening, what is the risk for severe weather?
We do have a slight risk outlook for the region here this afternoon and evening, which is a little bit less probability for these impacts from damaging wind, hail, can't even rule out a tornado compared to the last event. What we're looking at is timing is probably somewhere in the similar timing, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. time range, that we could see kind of a broken line of storms moving through that could have, you know, winds around the 60, can't rule out 70 mile per hour winds, maybe some hail. So a region that already doesn't need more, there is that potential. It's just a little bit lower probability, a little bit lower confidence that we can get these storms to those severe levels today, this afternoon. So it's best to continue to monitor the latest forecast, watches, and warnings as we'll continue to look at the situation, try to keep people abbreviated what to expect.
We're with meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. I'm sure you and your colleagues have talked about this. In terms of widespread damage from a thunderstorm system, Tuesday has to rank way up there, especially looking at those 90 to 95 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, so it's one of the more impactful events that we've seen in the Allegheny County area and listening area. We've kind of looked back at some of the records, and we're still collecting information from this event, but there's been a couple other instances where we've seen widespread outages totaling over 100,000. We've had a couple events where wind gusts at the Pittsburgh International Airport were stronger than the 71 that was measured with Tuesday's event. But this is still one of the higher end events that we've the region has seen, and it shows with just how long it's going to take to kind of recover from. That's the hope, that today we don't add to that impact that we saw Tuesday.
Hey, before you go, Jason, just peeking at the marathon weekend, we have tens of thousands of people coming this way. How about that forecast, particularly on Sunday morning for the actual marathon race?
So fortunately, we kind of get a lot of the stuff out of our region, especially for most of the day. So we are looking at least cooler temperature, which runners will like. The uncertainty comes with, do we actually get the rain out of here versus being dry? And there's still a lot of uncertainty that it had been trending, looking nice and dry, if cool for that morning. chances are starting to increase, or we're trending towards maybe there's still lingering showers for runners starting that day before we have a drier set up for next week. So unfortunately, it's not a very good forecast. It's a very 50% probability it could or couldn't rain. But I think we're going to have a lot more understanding as we get a day or two out from that. Get through these next couple of days, we'll have a better handle of what's going to happen for the race and runners there on Sunday morning.
Appreciate the time as always, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, from the National Weather Service, meteorologist Jason Frazier.
And the best part of the forecast so far for Sunday is it's going to be cool.
Yes, for the runners, and we talked to Troy Schooley, who's the CEO of P3R that organizes and runs the marathon events. The runners really prefer the cooler weather for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be quite as comfortable for what they estimate could be 200,000 spectators along the, 26 miles, for those that don't know, is the marathon. That's how long a marathon is. Aaron, have you ever run in a marathon? You're a dancer. I would assume you use your legs.
Right. I was going to say I've done a marathon of sorts in a completely different way, but I've never run a marathon, no.
I can't drive 26 miles without stopping for refreshments, so.
My brother's in a marathon on Sunday, and the training, you hear it's more mental than physical.
I see people in North Park at like 3:30 in the morning running. I assume they're people who are preparing.
Oh, yes.
For the event. I give you a lot of credit if you can do that. There's a half marathon, and then they have other events for kids. It's a big weekend in the Berg, and we'll keep you posted. The weather, absolutely critical to everything we're doing right now.
Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, Governor Josh Shapiro toured the storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And the governor also went in to show support for the small business.
Fury's Pizza. Stopped. Yeah, right. Beautiful.
Had a pizza, and then they condemned the building. But the mayor says, hey, we'll get that temporary roof. You get that done, we'll get you back open.
Tragedy at PNC Park last night, Larry. A fan fell over the Clemente wall.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
That's the voice of Pirates manager Derek Shelton. In the seventh inning, this fan came tumbling to the turf above the right field wall, and at this point, at the last report, was in critical condition.
And here comes marathon weekend.
They just continue to come in. We've taken over 500 registrations this week. So we might be approaching 48,000 by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
That is the voice of Troy Schooley, who is the CEO of P3R that runs the marathon.
And the registrations he's referring to are just the person who's running in the marathon. That doesn't include if they're coming from out of town, the people who they may bring with them, and hotel rooms are going to be in very high demand, because I would assume some people are renting a hotel room just to have some power and a nice shower and maybe watch some TV.
You actually bring up a good point, because of the demand for, if you have 47,000 participants and the potential for 200,000 spectators, do the math. And then if you have, what are we at now in terms of people out of power?
We're just under 200,000, yeah, in the region, yeah.
So some of those people have tried to get a hotel room because they have no power. And in some cases, if you have no power, your water works, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your water heater works.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people who have been taking cold showers for the last day or so.
Yeah, and our producer, Aaron, is still without power. It creates a lot of issues.
It really does. I was going to say include me as one of those people, Paul. But, people in Oklahoma experience this probably so regularly in their tornado season. It's just strange to be experiencing it here.
I think what's been happening, and we've seen this more and more, there have been countries in Europe that have gone dark for periods of time with power issues.
Well, we had Spain and Portugal went down earlier this week.
Right. And then, wasn't it...
Or was it the end of last week, anyway?
On Puerto Rico, the entire island was out of power for a stretch. This is becoming to me, very concerning.
For Puerto Rico, it's an infrastructure problem. In Cuba, they'll go without power for days at a time because their system is breaking down. Their entire, you know, political system is breaking down. But in Europe, with Spain and Portugal, one of the reports I read said that there was a problem with solar panels. I don't know to what degree solar plays a role in their overall energy production, but that many people without power, including the capitals, Lisbon.
Well, think of how disruptive it is to your daily life. When you don't have power, you feel so helpless. And in the case, cell towers must have been affected too, because the service that I have, even though I didn't have power, I couldn't access. Now, typically, you just go off your phone as long as you can charge your phone, which you can in your car. And some people went to their favorite coffee shop or restaurant trying to find a place to plug in.
Well, I saw pictures of people lined up to do this at Sheetz.
Right. Right. And I mentioned last half hour, Dr. Wong, who's a family physician, said some of his patients came in and said, hey, can we charge up in your waiting room? and sat there and did that. So it's created a big challenge for a lot of people. And the fact that 5 to 7 days.
How many people have gone to their car in the last 36 hours to charge up their phone? Right?
Yeah. Some cases you don't have another resource.
One of our coworkers told me that what he did yesterday for him and his family.
I thought, what if you have an electric car? And someone said, well, there's one of those you can charge your house. You can use it as a generator. And how many people went to Lowe's, Home Depot, True Value, and try to get a generator?
I'd like to know the answer to that one.
You know what?
What the status on inventory is at the big box stores now.
Let's call Andy, because this is the guy. He's our go-to guy.
Let's see. Perfect.
EV True Value.
Yeah, in Bethel Park, that would be an excellent idea.
Let's see if we can get him 715.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
and demand.
I'm sure he'll be able to outline what all else is flying off the shelves, right?
Right.
Batteries, flashlights, lanterns, ice chests.
The good news is some of these LED flashlights have a battery shelf life that's really extraordinary. Even the ones that you recharge. You charge it up and have it ready for incidents where a lot of schools have altered their plans today. We have the entire list. KDKRadio.com. Pittsburgh Public is in, but eight of those schools are on what they call synchronous.
So a couple years ago, I had to get a new
North Allegheny closed. They're on flexible instruction. Some 2-hour delays. And again, we have the entire list.
Oh, that's cool.
At KDKRadio.com. In the midst of the cleanup and anticipation of more thunderstorms today, we'll be tracking when you get your power back if you haven't yet. And there's quite a list. And 5 to 7 days is the takeaway that a lot of people heard at the press conference yesterday, which included John Hildebrand, the second vice president of operations with Duquesne Light. Hopefully, it'll be sooner.
This is all, you know, hindsight is 2020
for you.
So we got to get you a generator.
Wanted to check in with Michael Godwin, who is the chief investment officer for Gasso Financial Advisors. Kind of get a read on where we are even in economically right now.
But it all, Michael, good morning. Is that
good morning, Larry? Thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
It's always here.
I'm curious.
We just kind of sit back and hold our breath
so collectively.
And then when it's gone,
people are very concerned about
their retirement funds and stock markets.
So give us a picture of where we sit today.
Texting via satellite.
Where to begin, Larry? It's been a rocky. No.
So T-Mobile has a feature. I didn't realize it was
pretty remarkable. I think
T-Mobile,
that given all the volatility
where
we've seen
if you
so
have
far,
no service the
US
whatsoever,
S&P 500,
and you open
down
that
around
messaging app,
between
the iMessaging
4-5%.
App, it will literally say send text via satellite, and it will show you.
I think there
and it'll tell you. You know the commercials. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You're moving around. It'll tell you where to move in your house to be directly
under see a number a of trade deals in the not so distant future. Particularly,
it was so weird, but that's how I text you yesterday.
And maybe with Korea soon.
I'm
I mean, China is the
you
big wild card.
You
in this
less than 5%
Larry,
juice in
looking
your phone.
Yep, on a trade deal
rapid
with
firing.
China. Sometime in 2025, but make no mistake about it.
I get it.
You know, we're only down about
4%
this year.
Well, while you're at it, can you track that
confidence
Russian
has been
spacecraft
really
hit
pretty
yeah.
hard
Earth.
From a
yeah,
CEO confidence standpoint level and consumers as well. So with a lot of uncertainty in the air, that doesn't really bode well, I don't think, for consumers and particularly maybe stocks down the run.
And China, obviously, this is a huge component because are they our largest trade partner?
They are our largest trade partner, yes. I mean, tons of goods and services or goods come through China. What some businesses do, though, Larry, businesses are very smart. We don't give them enough credit for how they can navigate the uncertainties of trade dynamics. What they're likely to do in some instances is just bypass the tariffs on China and ship goods maybe from China to Vietnam and then Vietnam to the U.S. or ship goods from China to Mexico and then Mexico into the U.S. to sort of bypass some of the tariffs that are implemented there. So I think there's some workarounds there, but nevertheless, it is a cost to businesses in its current form, obviously, that we're seeing right now.
Michael, the GDP report came out yesterday, and it showed first quarter GDP was basically almost nothing. It was like 0.3%. And the analysts that I heard said it was all due to the fact that there was a rush on imports. There was a big uptake. And so there's on the other side of that, there's going to be the reverse effect at some point. Explain how that works and how you see that playing out.
That is correct. If you actually look at underneath the hood on the GDP numbers, it wasn't all that bad. Consumers are still spending quite a bit. Job hirings were pretty good in Q1. And you're right, we saw a huge uptick in inventory buildup in Q1 just to try to get ahead of the, you know, Liberation Day tariff and whenever that was going to happen. What we're going to see going forward, I think, is you're going to see a weaker, certainly, Q2 GDP number. Some of that inventory has to be drawn down, so you're not going to be spending more to buy more goods. And so I think you're going to see a bit more of a weak number in GDP growth in Q2, and maybe even in the Q3 if this trade stuff doesn't get worked out at some point pretty soon.
We're with Michael Godwin, who is the Chief Investment Officer with Fragasso Financial Advisors. If you're dealing with a lot of retirees, we have a lot of listeners who are in that category. What's the collective wisdom right now?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, one I've always said it's incredibly, incredibly difficult to make portfolio decisions based on geopolitical events. You have no idea as an investor what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, when deals are going to get ironed out, and what those are going to look like. So it's really hard to make tactical moves there. I do firmly, firmly believe that most retirees still have the ability to have a longer-term view for the most point. And if you don't, your portfolio should be allocated in a way that is not heavily tied to the stock market. Maybe you're 50% of your portfolios in stocks and 50% in bonds or other types of investments, gold, commodities, private real estate, et cetera. So making sure you have the right allocation for your portfolio so you're able to withstand these volatile moments is paramount to ensuring that you have a safe and secure financial retirement.
Michael, as long as we're on the topic, how are bonds and other investments that are not stocks performing right now compared with stocks that are so volatile?
Yeah, the benchmark for bonds is called the Bloomberg Barclays Aggregate Index. That's up about just under 2% on the year. So some safe haven investments are doing okay, and they're doing their job of being able to counteract the negative movements you're seeing in the stock market. At Fragasso, we invest in stocks, bonds, and we have a whole host of other sort of alternative ways or vehicles that can generate returns and income, such as private credit, private real estate, et cetera, that have been doing very, very well. So you bring up a good point, Larry, in that it is incredibly important to make sure you have within your portfolio investments that operate in a co-varying degree with one another. Some stuff goes up, some stuff goes down, and that way you have a very, very well-balanced, well-diversified portfolio that does pretty well in environments that like we're seeing today.
Michael Godwin, Chief Investment Officer for Gas Hill Financial Advisors. Appreciate the time this morning, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Have a good day.
Coming up, generators. Wow. Right now, if you need one, where do you get one? And what do you get? And how do you, how much? These are all questions.
Don't turn to the black market, whatever you do.
We're going to check in with our good friend Andy Amrine. He knows the answer next. Guy, when we want to find out what's going on in the hardware industry, because that really is a reflection of what people need. And joining us, Andy Amrine from EB True Value. Andy, good morning. But I understand you are directly affected by the storm as well.
Yeah, good morning, Larry. Yeah, I have a house in Ohio on Tappan Lake, and just my go-to place to relax on Sundays. And, you know, we had an 80-mile-per-hour wind. They are saying it actually was a funnel that went behind my house and up the street. My house and a few of my neighbors are on, and we lost over 100 trees. I need a new roof, lost the air conditioning unit behind my house. The propane tank was smashed, you know, electrical meter socket, mast, and so forth, ripped off the house. So, you know, we went down, cleaned it up, tarped the roof, and we move on. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah, but, talking to Marty, and he shared, you know, I'm sorry about that. Unfortunately, no one hurt, but that's...
No, absolutely. That's all that counts. So, helped the neighbors patch their roofs on Wednesday night and did mine on Thursday, and life moves on.
That said, the demand for generators...
it's a big game.
Yeah, obviously, when you have a massive storm like this in many people's lives, unprecedented in its you know, widespread effect, generators are in great demand. Talk us through the process.
You know, they are. And, you know, generators are a tough subject. You know, we rent and sell generators. And I would say by 7 o'clock yesterday morning, we were out of everything in the way of generators. And the problem, if you want to call it the problem with generators, that people own their portable generators, I'll start with that. They never think of it until they need it.
Right.
And with the fuel, the ethanol that's in the fuel, how it really is destructive to small engines, the majority of people that had generators and had them sitting in sheds and garages couldn't get them started because of the fuel and the bad carburetor. So sitting in my mechanic's shop right now, we probably have 40 generators that won't start. And same with chainsaws that people couldn't get started. And a generator is something that do you really need to own except once every 4 or 5 years where your power is out for a day or two. It's one thing if you have medical issues or underlying issues that you have to have standby power. And so that's, the portable generators are tough. Now, a whole house generator, they're amazing, but then you're looking at spending $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, and they run through and test themselves every month, so they're working when you need it. That's a totally different item than a portable generator. But a portable generator, gasoline engine, they have to sit outside, and you run extension cords through your window and plug in what it is you need. So you plug in that lift chair, or you plug in that oxygen tanks, or you plug in your refrigerator. But you got to, if it's portable, then you got to dig it out of your shed or garage, take it to where you need it, make sure it starts, have the fuel and everything else. And it's a tough call for portable generators. Now, if you're a camper or sportsman and you're using it all the time, or you're a contractor where you're running tools on it all the time, that's a, once again, a totally different conversation than just that homeowner that needs it once every 5 years, and you got a 99% chance it's not going to start when you need it. So their generators are a really, really tough commodity, to say the least. But on the flip side, the other things that we went through a whole bunch of yesterday were lamp oil. We sell a plumber's candles that you do for luminaries and in pumpkins. And so we went through 4,000 little candles yesterday. I should say Wednesday night more than, or Tuesday night more than, during the day yesterday, but flashlight batteries, emergency radios, so everyone could still listen to KDK. There's emergency radio. And these are things that are nice to have and for when you need them. And, having spare packs of batteries, a pack of batteries lasts 4 or 5 years. Just sitting in your drawer in your closet. The trick is finding where you put it when you bought it ahead of time, because, I'm sure people rip their closets and, junk drawers apart trying to find it. But, your flashlights, if you left the batteries in it, are, were they dead? But it absolutely was a crazy day yesterday. Wow. Unfortunately, a lot of tarps for the roof damage. But a lot of chains for chainsaws, a lot of the fuel for the two-cycle engines for chainsaws and so forth. My staff was very, very busy. Normal day, 400 customers. We had about 800 customers yesterday.
Wow.
And so it was a crazy day, but we're glad we're always, I've been here 50 years, so I've gone through a lot of storms. And it was a beautiful day yesterday, so it was... the sun shining, blue sky, but the aftermath of the wind could be pretty devastating, that's for sure.
Andy, what do you say about the backup power supplies that can be recharged with solar panels, the little ones that you could set out like in the driveway?
I think they're great. I think more people, if they're looking to have a standby generator that they want it to work, having that battery unit with the solar recharging panel on it. I've been intrigued by them for many years. I have tested a couple of them. They're small, but to do just that one thing or the two things, I have no issues with them at all. It's actually something I had been planning on getting into, and I never did. So I think yesterday pushed me to the point that I'm going to have to actually look into having some of those available for emergencies like that, because then you're into something that doesn't have need gasoline, doesn't have to, it's always going to start for you as long as you remember to keep those batteries charged. And, it's not going to run your furnace or air conditioner. So as long as you understand that, it's going to do it'll do a refrigerator, it'll do some lights, but they're not going to be powerful enough to run your whole house.
Andy, appreciate the time, especially knowing you're busy. Thank you, partner.
All right, it's always a pleasure, Larry.
Andy Amrine, EV True Value. 800 people in one, to
amazing
neighborhood True Value hardware store.
It's nice to have a local business in your neighborhood you can count on.
Yes.
When you need it like that.
And Andy's a guy, you ask him questions, he's straight out. He gives you his, unbiased opinion based on his experience. Like, hey, here's what I've experienced. Here's what you need to know. Can't believe a week has gone by since we last talked to Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. And he joins us where you can see him on the radio. And you can check out our live stream, kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
We're hanging in. A lot of cleanup going on. What was your experience with Tuesday's storms with your animals and your place up there in the north?
We drove out of it when I was coming home from work. So when I got home, we were very calm up here. My daughter's in Coriopolis, and my son-in-law, of course, they're out of power for maybe 5 to 7 days. So the good news from that is that they're going to come up and see us quite a bit.
Yeah, I know that it's creating opportunities for people to reach out to neighbors, friends, and families to help. And what about pets in storms like these?
Yeah. Nobody thinks of that, but see, what about the animals that have fear of these thunderstorms and these horrible things, and they get very anxious? Some of them tend to run away. Shelters get overloaded, during these disasters. So it is something to be, concerned with. That's why I always recommend permanent identification on our pets those microchips can always reunite your pet back to you if they get lost, because that's the first thing shelters and veterinarians do is we scan them, sometimes take x-rays looking for that identifying chip so that we can reunite them.
Dr. Mike, we have a question from Ellen in Shaler, who says her senior cat meows constantly at night, and she's wondering, is it anxiety or something medical?
Well, the key there is that she said it's a senior cat. So when I hear that, when they start to constantly meow, I do recommend a comprehensive workup. And what I mean by that, we're looking for things like hyperthyroidism, high blood pressure, and anxiety. Behavioral issues could be part of that, but I always check for the medical causes first, because a lot of times that will happen as cats get older. So I recommend that she get a good comprehensive exam to make sure it's not one of those diseases, because all of those can be helped. And it can help alleviate that meowing.
Ricky in Munhall wants to know, Dr. Mike, this is a great question. Do pets understand when a family member is ill or missing? Our dog won't leave my dad's chair. Dad passed away a few months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. My condolences for your dad. That's a tough one. Yeah, pets often pick up on emotions and, you know, familiar. They seek out familiar spots, comfort in familiar spots. And that sounds like your
Larry
dog
Richard
is doing
with
that, and
Anchorman Paul Rasmussen will continue to update you on storm cleanup and the potential for more storms later this afternoon. Meanwhile,
in this case,
quite a few schools are closed today due to power outage issues,
probably loss of your
delays.
Well.
We have the entire list
and I mean, that's
at KDKRadio.com. Pittsburgh public schools are open, but there are 8 schools that are affected in their
Susie in Mount Lebanon is asking about her dog. Recently started whining when they put him in a crate.
Joining me,
and he used to love that. And she's wondering why, and if you have suggestions.
With City Charter High
you
School.
You know, when a dog
loves
a crate
Welsh.
And then stops
Angela,
loving it, I wonder, you know, did something
Hi,
happen?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I've never met
dog,
a chief academic officer before.
Maybe? Is it painful? And so what I would do
well,
in that
today's your lucky day,
my recommendation would be start doing
also
positive
assistant
reinforcement
principal,
again, associate
and
with
the
treats,
reason we've asked you on is because
and if you can't get that
you wouldn't
past
be alone
the anxiety in that crate
having concerns
then,
about the
you know,
major cuts proposed by PRT because of
you know, exhibiting
tremendous funding shortages
like
so what was the outcome from they
you
had
put
a couple
in a
of
nice
sessions
in there
To talk
you know,
about
nice,
this subject
cozy,
to get public feedback.
Blanket or something that he can lay on, and maybe that will help as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely.
But
those so are the kinds of things I think about.
The outcome has been
sure
interesting so
on,
far. A lot
of
people have reached out to us about hearing our voices.
That makes us
I thought it was important that we go to the hearings
well, pets
and have
their
our students
would
be heard on the
say,
subject
hey, Doc, can
because
we just hang
they use the buses as their primary form of transportation, whether it's coming to school, going to work.
Yeah, a lot of people still without power, almost 200,000 people, which is unimaginable.
And so on and
just
so
like
forth.
You said, your daughter
so
in a situation where you don't know.
And
the Duquesne Light spokesman yesterday
cut,
said, yesterday said it could be 5 to 7 days.
So. Impact
yeah,
their
that's,
lives.
A, that's what they were told. That happened to us a couple
and
years ago.
What did
up
you
here.
Hear about
and
what
of course,
potential
I was getting a generator
resolutions
in,
there
the
could
guy
be?
Said, hey, do you mind
the budget is the budget, and if the money's cut, they got to make the cuts. Who's going to pay for the difference?
And then, of course, we had 5 days without power.
I mean, that's a good question. And while we didn't hear much,
Doc, always good to talk. We'll catch you next Thursday.
All right, my pleasure. Have a good week.
Dr. Mike Hutchinson, go to KDK. Radio.com for a link
like
to animalgeneral.net.
Come down here for a visit to our school because we are located
from the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk. Governor Josh Shapiro toured the store damage, storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And in an effort to support the small
business
Angela,
I'm curious, what percentage of your students use mass transit? Tragedy at PNC Park last night, a fan fell over the club.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton reacting to what happened in the seventh inning.
That are
and
transported
at this point,
in other ways.
We understand
and
the condition
so our whole school
of this man yet identified as critical.
That's correct. And here comes marathon weekend.
We might be approaching 47,000, 48,000 by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
Troy Schooley, who is the CEO of P3R.
They've got to find a way to
the organization that runs the marathon. The kids
and that number of people is registrants for the race, but that doesn't include, also, if they're from out of town, anyone they're bringing with them. And that makes it likely hotel vacancies are going to be scarce for people looking to escape, like to a cool room with electricity and television.
Boy, that's exactly correct. They're at a premium right now because of all of these things converging into
the weekend. And their voices will be heard by others. And I even say this sometimes more than the adults.
Are there any conversations that you're hearing about of resources to bring funding in?
No, not at all. Not at this time, at least.
And how long a process are we talking about till this would take effect?
So I'm thinking that we're hearing starting in 2026, that would affect the buses, which is actually the worst time for us because that's in the middle of the school year. So families are going to have to make some decisions. Obviously, we want to keep all of our students here, and so we're hoping that they don't have to make those decisions because this will be figured out at the higher level.
Have you had a chance to look at the proposed route cuts and then project how that would affect your student population?
Absolutely. So between staff and students, many routes are cut, specifically from some areas that students would not have access at all. And so those are the students and the families that are very concerned about making choices for next school year. And so when you look at where our students are coming from and what buses they take, there are some kids that will have no access and not be able to get to school. And so that's really concerning. And there are popular areas where groups of our students come from. So Northside, then there's Brookline. There are a lot of areas that will be affected.
All right, what's the next move? What are you hearing?
So we're going to invite the CEO down to see us, and then we will continue to make our voice heard at the PRT public hearings in May and June, and we'll continue to fight. And that's all we can do at this point, get our name out there, get our students' voices heard, and we'll see what happens.
Angela Welsh, Chief Academic Officer with the City Charter High School. Appreciate your time. Good luck. Keep us posted.
Okay, sounds good.
Direct from our newsroom.
Yes.
Good morning. What's trending?
It's not a good morning for me.
Why? What happened?
I don't have electricity. I still don't have electricity. I am furious about this.
What's the longest you've ever gone without electricity?
Probably about 8 to 10 hours. If that, like when I go to sleep, I wake up and my electricity is back on. But I have issues like the tree down in my mom's backyard. My mom doesn't have electricity. I don't have electricity. My mom has dementia. Moving her from one location to the next location.
Very challenging.
It's challenging. So yesterday I wasn't here because of all of these things that are happening. And to get to this point that I can say, I can't say, because I still don't have electricity. And it's challenging for me at this particular time.
Well, as you heard yesterday, Duquesne Light spokesman, who's the vice president of operations, John Hildebrand II, at the end of his part of the press conference that they had in the city, what caught everybody's attention was they said five to seven days.
Yes, and that's where I am right now. It's like, and then we're talking about it. It's trending. People in these communities are, you know, upset. I have, Larry, literally on Sunday, I went grocery shopping because Jasmine's flying in town because Kayla's graduating on Sunday. So I went grocery shopping, and all of that food, all of that hundreds of dollars of food, I must say, is gone. It's I have to throw it all away. I mean, I don't have the luxuries of uprooting myself and staying in a hotel for 5 to 7 days for myself and my mom. And I mean,
even if you could get one,
that is true as well.
The marathon's coming. They're already
booked out. Yeah. So that's trending with me, not T, but that's trending with me.
Well, I appreciate that.
No problem.
It's a great challenge dealing with parents who are having memory issues. That's really,
it's,
I I feel for you.
It is nothing you could describe to anyone who has not dealt with this. You cannot describe this. It's something that in order for you to understand, you have to live with it. You have to be a part of it. And I think dementia and Alzheimer's is not discussed and talked about enough because everyone you know, someone knows someone who has dealt with this horrible disease, but we have questions. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
Well, that is truly trending with you.
It is. But anyway, do I smell, when I come in, does my fragrance offend you at all?
Not at all.
Well, a New Jersey bakery asked customers wearing strong perfume to use the drive-thru. That's part of the debate. It's crazy. They're asking customers.
You smell so good. Get out of here.
It's causing problems for the workers. They are sneezing and people have allergies and it's the time of the year where people are going to say in New Jersey.
And what kind of place is it?
It's a bakery in New Jersey. I mean, I understand. I truly do. That the smell of the perfume offends you, but then you say, hey, you know, you can't smell the fragrance of the fresh donuts and pastries and all of the above.
Well, so, I can tell you, Mark Soraya wouldn't throw you out because you smell good.
Exactly. And we have Starbucks. This is near and dear to my heart. Starbucks just 3D printed an entire store. So people are on social media saying, is this the end to actual construction jobs? So, hey. That could be a thing. In a video that's shared on Instagram, construction crews can be seen working alongside a robotic arm as it methodically lays layers of concrete to build the structure, much like a printer deposits ink line by line. So,
I have seen a video of this. It's remarkable.
It is. So, I mean, hey.
That's the future. You want a 3D printed house?
I don't know. My husband's in construction. We have a problem.
No, yes. Embrace the technology.
No. Anyway, Beyonce. What?
Go ahead.
What?
No, go.
I'm talking, Larry. I'm trending right now.
Clearly.
But anyway, Beyonce's tour. She started. It was the 28th, and Little Blue is out there doing her thing. So a lot of people are saying, is this a tour that she's actually putting Blue Ivy in the forefront because she's performed in several of the songs on this tour, but people are complaining about the prices and the seats and they can't hear and the sound system is horrible. It's like people's lives are just upside down.
You wouldn't know back in the day because they didn't have social media to post
correct
this stuff.
Now it's damaging, but social media is damaging to lots of people in the business, in the music industry. You could be a 10 one day and wake up tomorrow and be a 1.
Well, I got a couple for you.
Okay.
Off of what you and I talked about, you brought us trending with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
I saw that.
On that CBS interview, there's blowback now.
Yes, there is.
Because Bill Belichick saying, hey, I agreed to do that interview, and here are the parameters, talk about my book. And they started going off the rails on the girlfriend who was sitting there. She goes, we ain't doing that.
But hey.
That said, they're saying, she shouldn't be demonized for calling out Tony Koppel of CBS.
Well, there are times when you appear in front of CBS, right? And you have no idea. I mean, it happens. It's the game, and I understand.
If you write a book,
you want to talk about the book. But sometimes you got to slide a question or two in there.
Yeah, I don't blame Tony for asking, but he's getting some blowback now, too. Oh, wow. One other thing.
Yes.
Shedeur Sanders in that prank call.
Yes.
Apparently, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the Falcons. Jeff Ulbrich.
Yes, with the Atlanta Falcons.
His son.
Yes.
Got a hold of, on his dad's iPad.
Correct.
The phone number of Shedeur, and he pranked him during the draft.
Yes.
Well, yesterday, Dad met the media.
Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate We are better than this. The Sanders family, Shadur and Coach Sanders, were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
That was a phone call?
Yes. And it was an opportunity for myself and for my son to apologize.
So apparently, Shadur and his dad, Dion, took the high road. But the NFL has already fined the Falcons $250,000. And Ulbrich, who makes $1 million a year, $100,000.
Correct. What took so long? Trending with T.
T. Hope you get your power back. Please get T's power. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our powerless producer, Aaron Ferragonio, and talking to Tamira Rush. Feel, you know, I got lucky. I got my electricity back yesterday, early afternoon. So grateful to get it. Now, it's so many people, you know, just under 200,000 still without power, including you.
Oh, yes.
And you have trees down around your house, and you just got your house.
Yes, we just got our house. I'm very thankful. We have a very big tree, and it's not positioned where you would think it was in danger of falling on the house, but it was it's very big on sort of a downward slope, and probably the top half of the tree broke off and fell into the road in front of our house. So it didn't necessarily impact our house, but it's very messy, you know, on our street, just debris everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of cleanup continues. We had a beautiful day yesterday to do that. Unfortunately, there's the possibility of severe weather again, not as widespread. So we had a chance to catch up with the National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Frazier, and the survey team concluded it was straight-line wind damage for most destruction happened east of Pittsburgh, Schenley Park through Regent Square to Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the Parkway I-376, damage consistent with 90 to 95 mile an hour winds. And the survey team was out, so we asked Jason about what they saw in detail.
The survey teams went out and reviewed and looked at all the damage that was occurred across the region. They surveyed all sorts of places, and some of the damage they were seeing was indicative of winds that were that 90 to 95 mile per hour. And based on the direction of things damaged, there was no tornado. This was all straight line, but it shows that even if it's not a tornado, if we get winds that strong, it can do serious punch to the region. And obviously, a lot of areas are still reeling here this morning, and we're hoping for their recovery and quick order, and hopefully today we can maybe avoid additional things, but that's what we're going to be looking out for this afternoon and evening.
And so with this afternoon and this evening, what is the risk for severe weather?
We do have a slight risk outlook for the region here this afternoon and evening, which is a little bit less probability of for these impacts from damaging wind, hail, can't even rule out a tornado compared to the last events. What we're looking at is timing is similar timing, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. time range, that we could see kind of a broken line of storms moving through that could have, you know, winds around the 60, can't rule out 70 mile per hour winds, maybe some hail. So a region that already doesn't need more, there is that potential. It's just a little bit lower probability, a little bit lower confidence that we can get these storms to those severe levels today, this afternoon. So it's best to continue to monitor the latest forecast watches and warnings as we'll continue to look at the situation, try to keep people abbreviated what to expect.
We're with meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. I'm sure you and your colleagues have talked about this. In terms of widespread damage from a thunderstorm system, Tuesday has to rank way up there, especially looking at those 90 to 95 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, so it's one of the more impactful events that we've seen in the Allegheny County area and listening area. We've kind of looked back at some of the records, and we're still collecting information from this event, but there's been a couple other instances where we've seen widespread outages totaling over 100,000. We've had a couple events where wind gusts at the Pittsburgh International Airport were stronger than the 71 that was measured with Tuesday's event, but this is still one of the higher end events that we've the region has seen, and it shows with just how long it's going to take to kind of recover from. That's the hope, that today we don't add to that impact that we saw Tuesday.
Before you go, Jason, just peeking at the marathon weekend, we have tens of thousands of people coming this way. How about that forecast, particularly on Sunday morning for the actual marathon race?
So fortunately, we kind of get a lot of the stuff out of our region, especially for most of the day. So we are looking at least cooler temperature, which runners will like. The uncertainty comes with, do we actually get rain out of here versus being dry? And there's still a lot of uncertainty that it had been trending, looking nice and dry. If cool for that morning, chances are starting to increase. So we're trending towards maybe there's still lingering showers for runners starting that day before we have a drier set up for next week. So unfortunately, it's not a very good forecast. It's a very 50% probability it could or couldn't rain. But I think we're going to have a lot more understanding as we get a day or two out from that. Get through these next couple of days, we'll have a better handle of what's going to happen for the race and runners there on Sunday morning.
Appreciate the time as always, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yesterday, almost 24 hours ago, during Marty Griffin's show, the city of Pittsburgh held a press conference with everybody involved in the process of the cleanup. Most importantly, Duquesne Light. And John Hildebrand II, Vice President of Operations for Duquesne Light, spoke. Some of the highlights and the takeaway comes right at the end.
It is already clear that this is an unprecedented event in the history of Duquesne Light companies. More than 250,000 Duquesne Light customers experienced an outage. That's about 40% of the customers we serve. Our first and foremost focus is about safety, safety of our team members, safety of those coming to help, contractors and others, and safety of the public. Please assume any lines that you see are energized. Stay clear of them and call 911, and we will coordinate a timely response. As another indication of the magnitude of the event, we've received reports of more than 22,000 hazards, some of which are wires down, some of which are poles broken, et cetera. Another key element to appreciate the magnitude of the event, as you know, a transmission system feeds the neighborhoods and customers that we serve. Our transmission system has been impacted, and there has been some damage. We're working to recover those sources. We want to cite the Duquesne Light workers, the line workers, the troubleshooters, those in the operations center, those in the contact center, all working diligently to safely field our customers at this time of their greatest need. We're estimating 5 to 7 days of restoration time at the moment.
That's what got everybody's attention at the end of that conversation with John Hildebrand, 5 to 7 days. So do the math, a lot of people, nearly 200,000, still dealing with no power.
News Desk. Governor Josh Shapiro toured the storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And the governor's visit included, Larry, a stop for pizza at Fiore's.
And shortly after, they condemned the building. However,
yeah,
they're putting a temporary roof on, and as soon as they get that done, the mayor said he'd expedite if it passes to get them back open.
And there was a tragedy at PNC Park last night when a fan fell over the Clemente Wall.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
If you see the video that's gone viral, and they're talking about this around the country, how this happened is the question after, you know, how many years at PNC Park?
From what I was told, I have yet to see the video. I'm not sure if I want to, but anyway, what I was told is the fan jumped up. He was sitting at the rail and jumped up and fell over. Something had happened he was excited about. It was a 21-foot fall. He's in critical condition. And here comes marathon weekend.
We might be approaching 47, 48,000 by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
That is a big number. That's just the participants. Add another up to 200,000 people who will come to spectate. And now the people who are seeking to go to a hotel, motel.
Even for one night of relief, you know, like a nice warm shower, some television, air conditioning, right?
Yeah, people that don't have power.
So try to get a hotel vacancy. Find one on, they'll probably be pretty scarce.
It's a very, very big challenge. But the marathon, and a lot of people are coming in today and certainly tomorrow for the marathon weekend from literally all over the world. And we'll keep you posted. Tomorrow we'll have details of what the game plan is. But Troy Schooley, the CEO of P3R, is very excited because running conditions for a marathon are going to be pretty good Sunday morning.
Yeah,
cool.
A high of 67 later in the day, so it'll probably be in the 50s when they start.
And then a week from Sunday's Mother's Day already. And then before you know it, you've got Memorial Weekend. And
then you're saying, where did spring go, right?
Right. We had summer-like temperatures today.
Yeah.
That said, next week.
Back to normal.
Thunderstruck. Colin Dunlap is going to be leading this ACDC at Acrisure Stadium on the 8th. And there's going to be more musical talent coming to Pittsburgh. How about Eric Church? Country superstar announced he's going on the road. Free the Machine Tour, 22 area shows starting on the 12th in Pittsburgh. How about that? Pittsburgh's always factored in. So they got Philly, Boston, New York, Seattle supporting his upcoming new album, Evangeline versus the Machine. And that'll be released tomorrow. Tickets go on sale on May 9th.
Boy, today's country music is so different from the country music that we grew up with.
Oh.
And the country music we grew up with was called Countrypolitan. And the people who were really, back in the day, country music performers from the era of like Hank Williams Sr., et cetera, would say, you know, the same thing about what we're saying now, how it's just morphed over the years.
My first professional job was country music.
Oh, that's right. Down at West Palm, right?
Y-108. Well, no, here first.
Okay.
Before I went to Florida and worked in West Palm Beach, the spirit of the Palm Beaches, W-I-R-K. Here, it was at Y-108. We were in the Fulton Building, which is now the Renaissance Hotel, on the 11th floor with our studio windows overlooking what is now the massive North Shore. And when I was there, there was one thing over there, a cement donut on an asphalt tundra.
Yeah, not much to look at, was
it? No, I mean, all the development that you see now was supposed to happen back then that never took place. But say the least.
No, it looks good now.
I was playing songs like I've Done Enough Dying Today.
And, you know, what you could have not known when we were looking through that view from the 11th floor across the river, what you could not have known at that time was there was going to be a brand new baseball park that's like the showcase for Major League Baseball. And there's this guy named Kenny Chesney who's playing in the brand new stadium next to it, right? And a flotilla of boats docked along the riverside. I mean, it's incredible what's happened.
So successful, Kenny Chesney. And speaking of which, Megan Maroney is making her childhood dreams come true. Another country star has just announced that she will be releasing a duet next week on May 9th with Kenny Chesney called You Had to Be There. Not only did she post pictures of those two together on social media, but also included a snapshot of her ticket order from 2018 when she attended his Trip Around the Sun tour just as a fan. How cool is that?
What a transition that has been.
Yeah. Kenny Chesney. He's been here a bunch of times. People love the show. I've been there. I enjoy it. Old Blue Chair. He's got that vibe.
Well,
that,
I mean, he's picked up and run the ball that Jimmy Buffett laid on the field when
amen.
He died. Right?
100%. Cleanup continues after Tuesday's storm. Some concerns about storms this afternoon and into Friday. That said, Paul, we've, what, just under 200,000 now without power. And I had told you about a gentleman on my street. He's a electrical engineer, works in that space, and has had one of these full house generators for a long time.
And he's going to be a popular guy in your neighborhood today because the high's going to be in the low 80s.
Yeah, then air conditioning becomes an issue.
Right.
Certain times of the year, you might not have heat. Other times now, with temperatures in the 80s, air conditioning, let alone no utilities inside the home. And so what about these generators? You've heard me talk about Rocco Florio from AirPro Heating and Cooling, and they provide these whole house generators, and Rocco joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Rocco, I imagine you and your team are exhausted at this point because it's been a run here.
Yeah, it has. I even got my guy, he's a service and installation manager for this, and you have to be certified to service these things. So Davey's been running. He's in there with me now. We were just talking about how many we have to go on and, you know, how many people that bought generators from other companies, they have no service. So we're out servicing stuff that was done by somebody else right now.
Rocco, I'm curious to know with these generators, what's going wrong with them and why would they break down?
Well, if you don't maintain them on a yearly basis, they need to have, I'll let Davey tell you what he does on the service. He's here with me.
They need to be going through, get the oil changed, everything fired up and tested, just to make sure when you do need it, it's going to kick on.
And David, that said, for those that don't know, some of these are powered by either A, natural gas, or what other fuel sources? Is it diesel?
Propane, typically.
Okay.
Yeah, residential, we try to stay away from the diesel. Commercially, we go into the diesel.
Okay, so
we use gas and natural gas and propane mainly.
So it's preferable, I would imagine, if you have access to the natural gas, so that at least the power source, the fuel source, you wouldn't have to worry mm-hmm. about.
Yep.
Rocco, I'm curious to know how much interest has increased in the last 36 hours. People interested in a home generator.
Well. Davey and I are now just figuring out how we're going to get to them all, but we'll get to them. It's increased a lot. I mean, people don't know really how much they cost, you know, and they inquire about that. So we kind of give them an idea because it's all based on each job is different. Not every job is the same. Sometimes you have to run gas line further, electrical connections further. Where are you going to set the unit at? Where is it going to be actually sitting on the ground at? So that's things we have to look at. So that determines the cost for the whole installation and everything.
And once you put a generator in, it goes through a monthly test on its own. But I'll tell you what. No?
Yeah, no. We set them up, I think, Davey, what do you set them up, every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
So it automatically fires to just mm-hmm. keep it working in order, because when you need it, you need it. And that said, when the electricity goes out, Dave, what happens?
You don't have any lights? You don't have any
internet? No, I mean, I'm talking about if you're connected to a generator.
Oh, what happens is the lights come on again in 10 seconds.
10 seconds. That's what I was looking for, how fast it flips over.
10 seconds.
And how long would a generator like this last if people are thinking about doing it? It can be cost prohibitive, but if you look at the long run, maybe it's not so. So how long would typically one of these generators last?
If you do the maintenance, Larry, I wouldn't see a problem with the generator lasting 25 years.
Wow. And also
about the maintenance.
Yeah, also in the long term, too, how much would having a whole home generator like this increase the value of a home when it's time to sell?
Well, I'll tell you, my wife's in the real estate industry, so it's about double of what you pay for it. That value is double what you paid for it.
And so it can be $10,000 to $15,000
depending on what you got to do to install
application.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the application that determines that.
All right, Rocco, thanks. I know you're busy. Good luck. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll see you.
All right.
You know, Larry, I've got a feeling that there's a number of people thinking HELOC right now. Home Equity Line of Credit.
Yeah, when you're looking at 5 to 7 days, all of a sudden you go, well, maybe it's an investment. I mean, but that's a lot of money.
Well, but if you're going to get double what you paid for the generator when you sell your home,
it would
now all of a sudden it's starting to make a lot of sense.
It would definitely be one of those amenities where people would go, oh, yeah.
We got to have that, right?
We got to have one of those now. We check in with Pittsburgh Magazine's fabulous food editor, Christy Graver. And you can see Christy on the radio. Check out our live stream at KDKRadio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Christy, good morning. I see you.
Yes, good morning. You always have really great intro songs for me, so I appreciate that.
Every week, we try to please. All right, this is big news. The big rubber duck is coming back to the Berg, the world's largest rubber duck, which made a big splash, pun intended, when it came last time.
Oh, I used all those puns in my story. So this thing came to Pittsburgh in 2013 during the International Festival of Firsts, and it drew more than 1 million people when it was here. So now it's coming back to Western PA. It's 6 stories tall, and it waddles into Idlewild and Soak Zone from June 27th to 29th. The Ligonier Amusement Park will also have duck-themed activities and merchandise. So go check it out this summer.
I can't believe that it was that popular. It was kind of cool to see, I got to admit, and everybody wanted to take pictures with it. And this was created by that Dutch guy.
Yes, Dutch artist, which I cannot pronounce his name, so I apologize.
Come on, you should have put, you should try. All right, this is right up your alley, and this is what we expect from you. It's in your zone. 30 new places to eat in Pittsburgh, plus what's coming soon. And with the draft coming now, and we're on the clock, next April, there'll be a big push to get everything ready to go by then.
Totally. There's like 50 restaurants on this list. It's like the dining scene is just exploding. And for starters, like my former gym, the Fitness 19 in McIntyre Square, it's now a Chinese ramen and sushi restaurant, and it's really good. It's called Ramen King 2. It's delicious. I don't need a treadmill. I run my mouth.
Nice. And that's where is that place?
It is in McIntyre Square in the North Hills. It's where Kmart used to be up there. It's where Permane Brothers is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know exactly where you're talking about. It's been a while since I've been up there. There's this giant, like, home store up there.
Yes, that's big. And there's a couple new restaurants up there, little Asian restaurants, and they're great, both of them.
And by the way, sidebar, I hear Emiliano's in McCandless Crossing is closing. They've got new ownership there of the property, but their other four locations are going to remain open. So
I did not see that.
So I the first time I went to an Emiliano's was in Southside.
And wow.
I thought it was really good when they first opened. All right. Next up, uncover Pittsburgh's hidden history of all places, the Strip District.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about this last week because I was about to go. And if you are a nostalgic yinzer like me, go to the Heinz History Museum's latest exhibition. It's Pittsburgh's Hidden History. It's filled with artifacts from the facility's archives, and it will be there through October 5th. Staff members called through more than 300 curiosities from storage, including photographs and documents, clothing, iconic signs and toys, and even a wreath made of human hair. 90% of these things have never been seen by the public before. My favorite thing is the vamp. It's the green woman who was in the turret of Kennywood's Lake Cachot dark ride. I have a Lake Cachot tattoo, so I saw this thing and I literally cried.
Wow. You know what?
You'll love it. It's so moving, and they really, really put a lot of care and attention into it. Lots of details. And, you know, they're Pittsburghers, and they love it, and so do I. So go check it out. It's really worth it.
Yeah, the award-winning Heinz History Center, which Andy Masick and his team do a phenomenal job. And it is such a gem here in Pittsburgh. And if you haven't been, or if you've been and you think you've even scratched the surface of what's there.
You haven't.
Yeah, tremendous. And that said, are you a runner? Are you running this weekend?
Oh, absolutely not. My dad used to do that. So, years ago, we used to wait at the point to see my dad come, and he would just lay down and kind of like convulse for a while.
I would marvel at people that can do this. I don't
know.
It's
amazing.
They got 47,000 people coming here to participate.
Wow. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Christy, thanks. All right,
Larry. Thank you.
Read Bye-bye. All about it in Pittsburgh Magazine. Christy Graber, the food editor, on every Thursday with us, KDKA. Speaking of Thursdays, Aaron, as you well know, a week from today, almost exactly at coming up at 9:30, we will be hosting the Democratic primary debate between Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and challenger Allegheny County Comptroller Corey O'Connor. And if you have an opportunity to go to our Odyssey app, which is free to download, AUDACY, there is a microphone you can tap on the page, the KDK page, and leave us a question. Voice your question by going with the Odyssey app. I wonder how many people utilize the app now during power outages to find out what's going on.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. The app is very resourceful.
And my question to you without power is, how are you powering your phone?
Well, yesterday I took my laptop with me to Panera and charged that up. And so when I'm in the house, I plug my phone into my laptop and then I just charge in the car.
I didn't think of how many people must have been out doing the same thing.
Oh,
I heard the lines at the coffee places, Dunkin', Starbucks, other places,
astronomically long.
Panera just crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Where people couldn't get an outlet to get their phone plugged in.
Think about this. I placed an order and went home to get my laptop, and my charger came back and my food still wasn't ready.
Oh, wow.
So they, all the workers at restaurants, God bless them, because they had a long day yesterday.
However, we're hearing very lucrative.
Oh, yes. I'm sure they're thankful.
Making some big bucks.
Oh, yes.
And we'll check in with Marty Griffin, who will take the air chair at 10 this morning. A lot of issues remain with downed trees and issues with power lines when you have still nearly 200,000 people without power. One of those, a friend of mine, Chris Barexo, joins us on the Big K Morning Show, who's also noticed a dangerous spot on Red Mud Hollow Road. And Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
You've been living around here a long time. Have you ever been out of power this long?
We were out of power back in January for a couple days also. I think we're in a bad spot here. That Red Mud Hollow spot seems to be a hot spot for downed trees and power lines for us. So 2 days, though, is getting a little frustrating, but hopefully everybody's safe out there.
Yeah, so where do you go to recharge your phone? Curious, because so many people went to Starbucks and Dunkin' and other places.
I'm in my car right now charging my phone, and I went into the office yesterday, which was packed with people, so there's options.
Well, yeah, the first time maybe a lot of people showed back up at the office because they needed to.
Yes, exactly. Bigger problem is drying my hair, Larry. I don't have access to a hairdryer, and you know how much hair I have.
Well, you could just stick your head out the window while you're driving that car, fancy car of yours. So, we did want to bring attention to a particular area. I mentioned Red Mud Hollow Road. So where exactly, for people that don't know, and what's the issue?
Yeah, so if you're traveling northbound from where Red Mud Hollow starts at Mount Nebo Road, right off 79 exit by the Sheets there, if you're heading northbound on Red Mud Hollow Road, just as you pass underneath the 79 overpass, Red Mud Hollow kind of runs parallel and then shoots under 79 and as it's going north towards Wexford.
Right.
And maybe, you know, half a mile up from there, the tree is down It's across the road. The power lines are low, and people are driving underneath it. In fact, a truck had to turn around because it was going to hit the power line. So people are not paying attention to the signs that are saying, you know, no traffic. So it's a dangerous situation.
We're hearing a lot of these kinds of things around the region. You've also mentioning being without power in January, you said, but can you remember as widespread an issue as we've had with the storm from Tuesday?
No, it seems to be all over the area. So I don't, you know, it's pretty crazy. I know there was a lot of people out. Was it 500,000 maybe reported and a couple deaths, which is very, very sad.
Well, Chris, thanks for checking in and the heads up on Red Mud Hollow Road. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Larry. Take care. Keep everybody. Thanks for keeping everybody safe and informed.
And give your bride, Maria, my best.
Will do. Same to you. And Cindy, love you, brother.
All right, my man. You too. Chris Parexa, who actually, Aaron, introduced me to the Greek community here in Pittsburgh. And what a warm and wonderful. Did you ever see My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes, I love that movie.
It's just family, you know?
Yes.
It can be similar to what I learned in an Italian-American family.
Yes, so I love how realistic it is.
So first time I went to Italian-American dinner, I was told, it's going to be loud. People might sound like they're mad at each other. The food will be great. Nobody's really mad at each other. It just sounds that way.
That's
I
it.
I said, oh, how loud can it be?
Yep.
Of course, then I went. So, where are you going to charge up later? Hopefully, you'll get power back.
Yes, I'm really, really banking on getting power back. I have a charger in my car. So, and Patrick, he actually, with Get Marty, he has a charger in the producer's booth. So, my phone's actually charging right now. I'll charge it when I'm in the car, and I should be good. And if I need to, I'll plug it into my laptop. So,
and which utility provider do you have? Duquesne Light, Penn Power?
I believe we have Duquesne Light.
Well, you just moved there.
Right.
They didn't send you the bill yet.
Well, I'm going to sound a little bit goofy, but Vinny reads that.
You don't care about that.
It's not that I don't care. I just... haven't gotten my eyes on it.
I'm not bothered with those utility bills. I gotcha. All right, a couple of notes. The NFL has dropped the hammer on Atlanta Falcons team and their defensive coordinator for a prank call on Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft. It fined the team $250,000 and Jeff Ubrick $100,000 after his son's actions. The penalties are, quote, failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the draft. In this case, the quarterback's phone number. So his kid took the phone, got the number, made the call, and yesterday his dad told reporters he and his son have taken full responsibility.
My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable, and for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself.
And he had a chance to call both Shedeur and his dad, Dion, and expressed how he thought they were very gracious under the circumstances where they might not have had to be. Lot of publicity about Donald Trump's first 100 days, including a special we aired last night here on KDKA. And then the former Vice President Kamala Harris spoke for the first time since the election publicly in this regard. She was the keynote speaker at Emerge 20th Anniversary Gala in San Francisco in this first extensive public remark since leaving office. She had this to say.
What they have overlooked is that fear is not the only thing that's contagious. Courage is contagious.
And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that coming up on our talk shows, too.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk,
Governor Josh Shapiro toured the storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And the governor visited Furies, then went in for a slice. Then they condemned the building.
Yeah, the roof was off, so they had to do that. But they're also saying that they want Furies to reopen as soon as possible. So I would imagine it's going to be a matter of just a day or two. Well, there was tragedy at PNC Park last night. A fan fell over the Clemente Wall.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
Yeah, over 21 feet. And last report in critical condition yet identified.
Yeah, with a skull fracture. And here comes marathon weekend.
We might be approaching 47,000, 48,000by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
Well, there's kind of a crush on hotel rooms. They were already sold out in some cases for the marathon.
Well, vacancies probably will be scarce because not only do we have the marathon demand, but people just looking to get a little cool time and maybe some TV, maybe a warm shower, right, in a hotel room.
Yeah, hopefully the sooner the better with the power, but it looks like it's going to be a while yet.